Good morning, everybody. I'm Cecile Town. As Dan said, I am the Data Exchange Coordinator for the Indian Health Service National Immunization Program. I'm also a research officer for CDC that is assigned to IHS, so I have the delight of having a dual role. So today I just wanted to talk about meaningful use, how IHS is approaching it, what we know and maybe what we don't know at this point, and what we're hoping to soon learn, which will help us in the years to come. To start out with, Indian Health Service is a sister agency to CDC. It's part of the Department of Health and Human Services. In 2007, the folks that, according to the census, were American Indian Alaska Native, AIAN, alone or in combination with other races, was about 1.5% of the U.S. population. The Indian Health Service system exists in 35 states. It's the federal health care provider for eligible American Indian Alaska Natives. And eligibility is basically if you're a member of a federally recognized tribe, and there's over 560 of those. It provides services via IHS, tribal, and urban facilities, and we call those ITUs. And there are 1.5 million AIAN people across these or that access these IHS-funded services. So it's a sizable population, perhaps not relative to the United States, but from our end of providing these services, we keep quite busy. These are the Indian Health Service administrative regions, and you'll see that they're divided up into 12, and you can sort of see where you lie in the United States relative to the IHS. But another way of looking at it is looking at our user populations during fiscal year of 2009, and the size of the circle is relative to the size of the population. So it's actually another and sometimes better way of looking at it from a state perspective of where the Indian population lies for you. The IHS has an electronic health record. It's called the Resource and Patient Management System, RPMS. It's utilized by all IHS and most tribal and urban Indian health facilities. It includes an immunization component, which has clinical decision support in terms of forecasting. It provides coverage reports to our users. We have a 3 to 27-month-old, 2-year-old, adolescent, and then an influenza report. And it is based on the vaccines that are administered. And we also have recall, or reminder recall, and a list and letters features. So the background for this talk is that, and the reason you're all here, so this probably goes without saying, in 2009, CMS established interoperability measures of electronic health record meaningful use that can be demonstrated by submission of electronic immunization data to IIS. And this is something that we were happy to see, and we were already doing this. We've had our data exchange in place for a number of years now. So in terms of the agency itself, not our immunization program, Indian Health Service has been quite active. There's a number of ERA objectives for IHS. So most of the meaningful use work in our agency is coming out of the Office of Information Technology. And their objectives include contributing to the revitalization of the American economy. There's some bullets under there that I'm pressed for time, so I won't go into. Part of that is deploying a certified EHR that meets the requirement of meaningful use, and that's our RPMS. Implementing a personal health record, and upgrading the reliability, redundancy, and security of our IHS network. And we feel like we're ahead of the curve with some of the meaningful use requirements. The deployment of our EHR is consistent with the meaningful use goal of increasing EHR adoption across the U.S. And our EHR has been around for probably since the early 80s, the sort of its first iteration. So we've been doing this for a while. We do some public health surveillance. IHS has conducted syndromic surveillance for influenza-like illness since 2009. And if any of you know my colleague Amy Groom, she was instrumental in setting that up for our office. And in fact, this week, the HHS Innovations Awards are coming out, and we're one of the finalists for that project. And they'll be at the awards ceremony with Secretary Sebelius on Thursday. There's electronic clinical quality reporting. Since 2002, IHS has been reporting clinical quality measures with the clinical reporting system, and we have ongoing relationships with ONC and CMS. And for those of you who know that there are some IHS sites that are not using the RPMS system, they're using another electronic medical record, something like NextGen or something like that, each EHR vendor is responsible for ensuring that its products are certified and capable of supporting meaningful use. We accept this responsibility for our RPMS EHR. Non-RPMS sites will be dependent on the certification of their commercial off-the-shelf products. All right, so for those of you who might not know about our data exchange initiative, we have developed software which supports a bidirectional HL7 batch interface between RPMS and state information immunization information systems using our software, and there's another transport software that goes along with it, which is an HTTPS transport. The benefits of our interface for us is that facilities can continue to use RPMS as their primary information source for data entry and patient encounters. It eliminates the need for double data entry into our RPMS and into a state IIS system. And when we receive reciprocal files, the data can be pulled from the IIS directly into individual RPMS records. And then the bridge software that I mentioned, the transport software, automates the exchange, which for our providers saves them time and provides continuity of the interface because they aren't manually uploading and pulling back a batch every day. So we work closely with our OIT and IIS personnel, or partners, that is, software programmers and ITU facility staff to establish and maintain functional interfaces. It's really a work of teams of people. ITU clinics utilizing our IHS RPMS can use the interface software to demonstrate meaningful use through submission of test immunization messages in states with an IIS that can accept HL7 uploads. As of 2009, roughly 30% of the patients served by IHS facilities were enrolled in Medicaid, and most eligible IHS providers and hospitals are expected to apply for Medicaid meaningful use incentives. But by April of 2011, which is next month, our providers and hospitals will determine whether they will apply for Medicare meaningful use incentives in 2011. And the reason why this isn't happening until next month is because we're developing a capability within our RPMS, which is a patient volume report. We'll be able to run patient volume reports next month, which will tell people whether or not their Medicaid population is to the proportion that they need in order to go for Medicare or Medicaid incentives. So the immunization submission requirements for 2011 are that Medicare-eligible providers need to use a certified EHR to successfully send one valid HL7 test message from their certified EHR system to a state immunization registry by the 31st of December of this year. Medicaid eligibility is a little bit more streamlined. They need only adopt, implement, or upgrade an EHR system in the first year of participation. So we know we have a mixture coming up, but we aren't quite sure what it is. The qualification is like this. Certain types of providers in a freestanding ambulatory care clinic would qualify for either Medicare or Medicaid, but not both. So if you're Medicaid eligible, the hospital and provider must meet patient volume requirements, and that's where these reports are going to help us out. Hospitals must have a 10% patient volume, and most providers must have a 30% patient volume. We are most likely encouraging our providers to go for the Medicaid incentives where possible because for them the requirement is less stringent. It's just the use of the EHR. And the incentive pays are higher. It's $18,000 for Medicare versus a $21,250 for Medicaid in 2011. But then when you get to the hospitals, you probably have more of folks going for the Medicare. Acute care hospitals may qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid incentives, and critical access hospitals qualify for the Medicare incentives. And there's 42 hospitals in IHS, and all may seek Medicare incentives in 2011. 19 of those currently export immunization data to their state IIS, so we know that they'll have the attestation in hand. 15 of those 42 hospitals will be exempt because of the state that they're operating in. But it's these remaining 8 that I'm most concerned about. They're at hospitals that are in states with pending data exchange, meaning we've already talked to the folks at the facilities and the folks at the IIS, but we don't quite have a data exchange up and running. And we'll need those facilities to attest by July 1st. In order to meet the 90-day Medicare period this year. So that's a kind of a short time frame, meaning that, you know, we're starting with them now because we assume that they're going to have to be ready, whereas some of the actual facilities, we have to wait until they get their patient volume reports. So some of you sitting in the room we may have already talked to. So this is what our data exchange looks like right now. And this isn't having anything to do with Medicare or Medicaid. This is just what we're doing with our exchange. So if you see the sort of the teal or the turquoise, that's our two-way exchange states, and there's 12 of those. Maine, Louisiana, Mississippi are our newer states. Minnesota and Wisconsin, we do bidirectional, and it's That's my five-minute mark, excuse me. We do bidirectional, and it's a manual exchange up there. Pending exchange is in the sort of the purple states in the middle, and these are all folks that we've talked to, and there's IHS hospitals in all of those states except for Colorado. Oh, and Rhode Island up there as well, and it's kind of hard to see. And then white states are states where there's not any ITU facilities. So the total number of IHS facilities that are engaged in data exchange right now are 63, and you can see how many per state, and there's four pending in South Dakota. Now, this is what our meaningful use attestation looks like this year. And the caveat that I'll provide for this is that if you are sitting in this room and you know, for instance, that I have you listed as exempt, it might be because we've contacted you or from what I knew at the time that I developed the presentation that we weren't able to do any sort of exchange. But if that's different, please let me know and we can start working on an interface. So basically, at this point, the 12 that are current exchange and can attest are pretty much the 12 that are already doing bidirectional exchange, and now they're orange. And then you have a pending exchange can attest category, and it's kind of a light blue. And these are not the same as our one-way exchange states for various reasons, but these are folks that we've talked to, or we've given them our HL7 applications because they've already reached out to us. Folks where we know that we have a hospital, so we know we have to engage in exchange, and folks like in New York where we actually can exchange data for legal reasons, but they've agreed to let us send test messages for the purposes of attestation. And then the states that are in gray are the states that are exempt. And some of them, like Oregon, for instance, has an HL7 exchange, but we have a software issue where we have to do an upgrade before we can do an interface with them, and that's not likely to happen before July 1st. So we're just going to call that exempt for this year and go for Medicaid MU next year with Oregon. If you have any questions afterwards, in particular to any of those states, we can talk about it then. So currently there's 232 ITU facilities in 34 states, with 27% of our facilities exchanging data. In 2011, 54% of our possible IHS RPMS facilities will interface or with IIS. And our facilities can now attest for meaningful use in 12 states. Medicare-eligible IHS providers and hospitals will be able to attest in 11 additional states in 2011. And the thing I'd like to point out about that is that our team that gets people rolling out is a national team, and it's me, a transport contractor, and our software developer. So by July 1st, we're going to be very busy. I wish that it was a bigger team, and we do sometimes get a lot of help from the area, but driving the process is three people. So sometimes if you don't hear back from me right away, please be patient. Interface discussions are underway in half of the exempt states. So if you're on that exempt list and you're thinking, well, I've talked to Cecile, it's true. It's just that for various reasons we might not be doing anything by July 1st of this year. Lessons learned, and you might hear these from my fellow speakers, that the processes are yet to be defined. I mean, this is my presentation right now at this point in time. In a month, that map could change. Once the states know more about what their attestation processes are going to be, some of those exempts could change. And I think that the issue of data transport is driving tests in environments less ideal for production messaging, meaning that for our providers, there's less continuity in the interface for doing a manual exchange, where they're doing they're hand uploading and doing that kind of thing. And we might have been less or more reluctant to engage in an interface with that type of setup before, but for meaningful use, we've got to get those tests out there. And so we are engaging with everybody possible at this point. And luckily, there's a lot of partners out there to be had. Message submission, meaningful use versus production. This is a really important point for me, and so I'm not going to cut into my time. I see you there. But I did want to make this, is that from the interfaces that we've done with our team, with state teams, with IHS facility and area teams, it's a very long process. If you want to do production data exchange from day zero to the day that you kick it off, you're talking about a months-long process where, you know, you're getting everybody oriented, everybody's getting to know each other's roles, you're doing the message testing, the data verification. It's not an easy thing. And I worry that that process, if every time that we do a test message or a test attestation, just to say basically, can we send you a message whether it succeeds or fails? If we have to do that process every time we set up test messaging somewhere, we're not going to make it for all of our facilities. So that's a lot of pressure for us. So I would just ask for some of you to think about the the possibility, maybe you already are, and I know some states have, of setting up a very simple testing process for a place where we can just sort of ping you and send that message. It doesn't mean that we won't do our data verification later. We understand what goes into production data exchange, and we want to do a good job and be a good partner with that, but we do want to be able to have our facilities test and do so in a timely manner. And then the final point I wanted to make is that we know that other, I said IIS vendors, I'm sorry, I meant EMR vendors on that. That was a mistake. EMR vendors seem to be developing to the meaningful use phases, meaning that they are developing their products according to what the phases of meaningful use are. And we feel that this has impacted us somewhat because, for instance, stage one is only sending your messages out. And we're bi-directional. We actually would invite reciprocal messaging. But we find that a lot of the IIS are responding to that need that they get from the field by saying, okay, well, we'll start in phases two, and we're going to accept your message, and then maybe in a year or so we can send you something back. And I don't know if one is causal or if they're just sort of correlated. But for us, it's frustrating because our providers really get involved with data exchange because they want that reciprocal message. That's the value added and true meaningful use for them. So I just wanted to make that point to this audience because I feel like it's very relevant for our ongoing interface and the interface we've had for a number of years. We're going to continue rollout. We're going to develop real-time HL7 2.5.1, plan for 2012 Medicaid MU. I'm not going to go on. I'm out of time. Thank you very much.